Welcome to The Swifterhood,
a podcast all about Taylor Swift's lyrical genius.
Whether you've known from her debut album that she's had a place in this world, or her folklore has become your Evermore recently,
we are here to faithfully and wholeheartedly deconstruct each song, lyric by lyric.
Welcome to episode 202. Why are you laughing at me?
I don't know. It just sounded really official and like we're on the radio.
Well, I feel like we're on the radio with these microphones hanging in my face.
Would you do radio as a job?
No, and I'm pretty sure. Did you ask me this last time?
Oh. Cut. So, welcome to episode 202. I'm going to steal it from you, Morgan.
Go for it, Erin.
Today, we're going to be talking about The Lucky One and Nothing New.
Nothing New is one of the songs from The Vault, so we're really excited since this is obviously from The Vault and we only got it a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. I think I've been so excited all week. Like, I think these are two amazing songs, just to go ahead and give you an off-the-bat opinion.
I'm glad. I think, without getting too into it, I really love Nothing New. The Lucky One is but we'll get into it when we get there.
Mm-hmm.
So before we start, as always, we're going to highlight an organization that goes under our Fearless feature tab. And this one is called I Don't Mind. You can go to it at idontmind.com. It is a mental health campaign, which was started by Melissa Benoist and Christopher Wood, who are two actors that are now married and have a kid. But both of them have been very forthcoming about their mental health struggles. So they decided to start this campaign with a mission to inspire open conversations about mental health and to provide resources, education, and encouragement for anyone who needs it. Whether you're living with a mental illness or working to improve your overall mental health, I Don't Mind offers an inclusive community where all are welcome and healing is possible. I Don't Mind is the start of a sentence that leads to a bigger conversation about mental health. So, especially with the way that the world is today, whether it's COVID, whether it's politics, whether it's divisiveness, stress, all of the above, mental health is very prominent among a lot of people. I think it's actually more common to have some mental health issues than it's not. And who would blame us with the state of the world today? So this is a great organization. Check it out for some resources. You know, let's make it part of our bigger conversation.
Yeah. So I assume you can donate to them.
You can donate to them. You can also, I think they set you up with counselors if you do. It's like another BetterHelp, like through like betterhelp.com. I think you can do telehealth. This also points you in directions of counselors or not even counselors, just other people that are also struggling with the same issues that you are, that you can just kind of communicate with via the internet, as opposed to, you know, sometimes it's harder to talk to people you know than it is to talk to people you don't know.
Great. Okay. So check out idontmind.com. And you want to get into song number one, The Lucky One?
Here we go. So this was number 13 mm-hmm. on Taylor's original Red album, and also obviously on Taylor's version of Red, as they've stayed the same. And so that means that it's, you know, I think it's an important song for Taylor. I think we can just take any time she does a number 5 or a number 13 that there's some relevance to her choosing that song for that track number. My original connection to the song, I'm going to be real honest, I grew up in the era of Britney Spears, so it reminds...
That's what I have written as well. I wrote, reminds me of Lucky by Britney Spears.
Yeah, so it does. It's like the first time I heard it, I was like, oh, this is like very reminiscent of Lucky by Britney Spears. But it's still a good song, and I think the more I listen to it, specifically the more I listen to it now, as opposed to the version on the original Red, it hits home a little bit more.
Yeah, my perspective on the song, I think, has changed a lot after going through the Reputation era. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it means more. I always liked this song. I thought it was catchy. I thought it was meaningful, but it just hits different.
So I will say the original liner note was, "Wouldn't you like to know?" And so I think all of us can kind of surmise that she wrote this about someone specific. And I think the rumors are that it's about Joni Mitchell. And I think there was talks back in 2011 that a biopic was going to be done about Joni Mitchell. And there were talks that Taylor was going to play her. I think eventually Joni Mitchell nixed the screenplay. She didn't like it. And so the deal fell through, because obviously in 2021, we still don't have a biopic about Joni Mitchell. But I think, as always, Taylor's been inspired by other female solo artists, and Joni Mitchell is one of those particularly. So I think everyone thinks this is about her, especially because Joni Mitchell has an album entitled Blue.
Okay, well, I read a different theory about who it's about.
Okay.
So on Lyric Genius, you know, the place with the most reliable information, it says
the place that everything says, this has not been checked for accuracy.
Yeah. It's like Wikipedia. You never know, really. But it said that Kim Wilde is who it was rumored to be about.
Who's Kim Wilde?
I mean, she's a former pop singer, and she was primarily popular during like 70s and 80s, a little bit in the 90s. But I had noted that it didn't make a ton of sense to me, because she says, you know, overnight you look like a 60s queen. And Kim Wilde, if you just Google her, she doesn't really have any pictures that look 60s. Like, everything kind of looks like 80s rocker vibes.
Yeah, and I'm sticking to my guns, and I think it's about Joni Mitchell.
But the reason that's a theory, too, is because The Lucky One is supposedly sampled from one of Kim Wilde's songs called Four Letter Word.
Okay.
Did you know that?
No, I told you. I didn't even know who Kim Wilde was.
Well, like, that's kind of how, I guess, you know, with Olivia Rodrigo sampled Daylight, right? Was it Daylight? Which one did she sample?
I don't know.
New Year's Day.
Okay. I think. What do you mean by sample?
So it's like they use the some chords of the melody.
Okay.
They don't have to use the whole song, but, or they'll even like play like a clip of it.
And that's why people are credited as
Kim Wilde.
Or people like are credited on people's albums, even though they didn't actually help write or whatever.
Exactly. That's why Taylor Swift would get nominations along with Olivia for Olivia's song that samples her music.
Okay.
But also Kim Wilde moved to become a garden landscaper. She gave up singing, and so
that the like rose garden
over Madison Square, which would be like playing big concerts, you know, big venues.
You see, I still am going to maintain it's Joni Mitchell.
All right. Well, I did note that I think this song could be about Betty. It seems like it could be written by Betty later on down the line.
Interesting. Okay.
You don't care. You don't give a shit.
No, I'm actually interested in hearing that. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. No, I'm it thinking sounded sarcastic. About it. No, sorry. It was not meant to be sarcastic at all. I'm interested to hear why you have come to that conclusion. But would you rather wait till we get into the lyrics, or do you want to tell me now?
I mean, it's not that deep. It's just basically like Betty later on, assuming she gets famous, you know?
But why are we thinking that Betty's getting famous?
Oh, why do we think... Oh, am I thinking of the wrong person? What? Fuck.
Who are you trying to talk about right
Dorothea.
Now?
Dorothea. I said the wrong name.
Oh, Dorothea.
I said the wrong name. Sorry, Morgan.
Okay, I was like...
That's why you said interesting. Yes. Like... for the listener, it's early in the morning. I just had my caffeine. Sorry, I recalled the wrong name. Makes more sense though now, right?
And isn't Dorothea, well, at least in my opinion, I think Dorothea is Selena.
That's what people say.
Do people say that? I came up with that on my own. I didn't read that anywhere.
A lot of people say that. Fuck. It's not an original idea. Sorry.
This is why I don't go
you
on the internet.
You had it of your own volition though. Yes, and of that you should be proud.
This is why I don't go on the internet, because I like to feel...
like a special butterfly.
I do. And then I had these thoughts in my head on my own, and I'm the only one that came to these amazing realizations.
Right. Like, so far I haven't seen anyone with the theory from the AMAs, but if I Googled a little harder, maybe like 20 something people.
I bet if you went on
posted.
Reddit, I bet if you went deep into Reddit, there's someone on there. Reddit seems to always have something about everything.
Yeah. That place is nuts.
Okay. So, So we kind of talked about the comparison to the original version. I think the reason I paired these two songs together is obviously they have a very similar content. Mm-hmm. And I think not only when you compare the original version with Taylor's version, is it the reason I like it more is because it seems more relevant now,
yeah,
coming from Taylor singing at 30, now two,
yeah,
versus coming from Taylor singing at 22.
The first time she recognized this was a thing, babe,
right,
essentially.
And then when the juxtaposition with Nothing New, I think makes it 10 times more.
Yeah, I almost just amazing. Accidentally called you baby. That was so weird.
Wait, what?
I started to say baby. And then I was like, why did I just
That's okay.
Maybe because I was looking at the song list and babe was on there, but
go yeah, ahead. All baby. The excuses you want.
Okay, baby. I agree with you though. I had the same thoughts. You're not original. Get over it. But I think, yeah, after Nothing New, The Lucky One means more.
I think so.
And it
too.
Seems like it's like a precursor to it, but I guess she would have written them around the same time.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you would think. And that's probably why she kept Nothing New off, was because it was too similar to The Lucky One and she liked The Lucky One, or she thought The Lucky One fit better with
The Lucky Red. One just tells more of a story and it's more detached.
It is, because The Lucky One's about someone. It's from someone else's perspective,
exactly,
as opposed to Nothing New is Taylor's perspective.
Right. Yeah. All right.
Well, so I'm gonna maintain that it's Joni Mitchell, especially since the first line is new to this town with a made up name, and Joni Mitchell's real name is Roberta Jean Anderson.
Okay. I don't know shit about Kim Wilde and her name. It sounds like a real name though, doesn't it?
So does Joni Mitchell, but
oh yeah. I guess you never know. Somebody can Google it.
Okay, so new to town with a made-up name. I think everyone, I mean, this is, it doesn't need much explanation since everyone knows that a lot of times actors and actresses, singers, songwriters move to LA and change their name just so it sounds, it has a better ring to it. And so obviously that's what Joni Mitchell decided to do and a lot of people do. So whether this is about her or Kim Wilde, I think broadly speaking, we know that this line just means you're going there to make a new version of yourself.
Right, yeah. I guess for me, what is striking about this, and it shouldn't be, like, I shouldn't still be shocked by Taylor, but I think I tend to think of her writing as being better as she's gotten older, and it is, it definitely is. But then sometimes when I come back to a song that's like, damn, this is such good storytelling.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, she was always so good at this.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of like why I'm was always defending her and why a lot of fans are always defending her, because people will be like, she only writes breakup songs about her exes. And then you're like, no, what about The Lucky One? What about The Best Day? What about Change? And you just start listing like as many songs as you can. But for me, this is one of those like amazing stories. Like it just sets everything up perfectly.
Yeah. I mean, because it's definitely, it's akin to Marjorie. It's akin to The Last Great American Dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
It's akin to Starlight. Mm-hmm. You know, these songs that are just essentially storytelling in 3.5 minutes, which is
yeah.
hard to do.
And she was always giving us that escapism. I just got like full body chills. It's crazy. The power of Taylor Swift.
I know.
Like she was always doing that. The thing is, it was also songs and stories about her own life mixed in.
Right.
And then with Folklore Evermore, we got just stories.
Yeah.
With like a little bit of her life sprinkled in. You know what I mean? But the lines were more like...
Yeah.
That's like a whole other discussion.
It is
probably
a whole other discussion. Because I also think, obviously, in order to tell a realistic and, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Riveting story and narrative and have it be believable and... you know, people can relate to it. You also have to have a bit of yourself in it in order to make it realistic. And so I think that's the important thing about, that's what makes Taylor's storytelling so great. Even though she's not specifically writing about herself, she's writing from a perspective that is bringing in her own thoughts.
Right, right, right.
And
she, beliefs. She can relate to.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what we see in The Lucky One, because she's obviously, she's viewing this person from the outside as the newcomer.
Like kind The of Last like, Great American Dynasty, like this is very similar.
It is, and it, but I think the coolest part about it is just like, and is in The Lucky One, she's the 17-year-old that's looking up to this person and realizing that could be my trajectory in life, whereas Nothing New, she's the person looking back at the 17-year-old. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, moving on. In the Angel City, Chasing Fortune and Fame, we know this is Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And the camera flashes make it look like a dream. You had it figured out since you were in school.
Everybody loves pretty. Everybody loves cool. I noted this is my second favorite line.
Okay.
Specifically because it's sometimes hard to pick a favorite, you know, when there's a couple, but I was like, I really want to hit on that. I just really love, you had it figured out since you were in school. Everybody loves pretty. Everybody loves cool. Like, I think that there's a lot of depth there,
oh, for sure.
You know, as far as someone being socially adept enough to like figure out how to make people like them. And that's like mirror ball, like this person that you can become whomever, like you can change to make people like you. You can like reinvent yourself. And it just speaks to, I don't know, the high school experience and like wanting people to like you
again.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
So overnight you look like a 60s queen. Another name goes up in lights like diamonds in the sky. I mean, so I think this is pretty
like billboards. A name goes up in lights.
60s queen is presumably what everybody thought was cool when this person was rising up, and so that's
but
why
also,
she did it.
Do you think it could be a reference to Taylor? Because during the Red era, she kind of had like a 50s, 60s clothing vibe going.
But did she have a 50s, 60s clothing vibe going because she was walking down the footsteps of this person that she's singing with?
Maybe.
Joni Mitchell.
okay.
Another name goes up in lights like diamonds in the sky, and they'll tell you now you're the lucky one. Yeah, they'll tell you now you're the lucky one, but can you tell me now you're the lucky one?
Yeah, so, you know, they're going to tell you that you're lucky. Everybody from the outside is saying, like, you have this perfect life. Like, how could you possibly be unhappy?
Right. Fortune, fame, recognition.
And this is just the opening, so we haven't gotten to, like, there's, like, this is one of those amazing
three-part
songs, yeah.
Trilogies.
So we'll get into, like, where it starts to show the nasty underbelly, if you will. But at this point in time, it's, like, you just got famous.
So you're milking it. You're loving it. This is what you had been working towards. This is what she has been working towards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, everybody loves pretty. Everybody loves cool. So she's, like, more molding herself, morphing herself into what everybody wants so that she can go to the city of Los Angeles and have that fortune and fame. But now it's big black cars and Riviera views, and your lover in the foyer doesn't even know you.
Is this the first time she used the word lover?
It could be. I feel like she must have used it in like Speak Now or...
Oh, yeah. True. I don't know. Somebody let us know.
So Riviera views, that's obviously like French Riviera, very like expensive,
rich
place where
big
a lot of
black
famous
cars.
People
that's
go.
Also what you ride in when you don't want to be recognized. Yeah. And you maybe need bulletproof glass. That was hard to say for some reason.
And the lover in your foyer doesn't even know you. The lover in your foyer is the person, knows the person that became the 60s queen overnight, knows the person that you morphed into in order to become the person you are, but you're hiding your true self because you have to be someone for everyone else to put on the show.
Mm-hmm. And the next line, and your secrets end up splashed on the news front page. Okay, I have multiple notes about this.
Okay.
First, I misheard this. Did you hear it correctly? For
no.
Years?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so I thought it was your secret sender splashed on the news front page. So I thought it was about stalking.
Oh.
Like the person, your secret sender, because sometimes Taylor Swift would be stalked, right? Or
yeah.
Like famous people are stalked. And the thing is, I know that I used to read the lyric booklets when I bought albums, but my way of listening to music has changed because of Taylor. Like, first of all, I only ever did that because of her and wanting to look through the lyrics and find clues and stuff. But since specifically Folklore Evermore, I'm so into the like analysis and like finding like ways stories connect and like use of words. Like, I have changed the way I listen to music. And I think at the time I probably read the lyrics once and then just would learn songs by heart, like singing them, you know? So I didn't hear it until the new version and was like, whoa,
yeah,
okay.
It is definitely clearer.
Yeah. Also, with a comparison to the original, this is my second note. She puts so much more emphasis, I think, in this version on front page.
Yeah, well, because up until this point, well, I mean, so she had like, obviously she was on the front page a lot after Fearless, after Speak Now with like love interests and stuff. But I don't, like, it was more of the outside or the like on the surface level news gossip. It wasn't like digging deep into her personal life, like deep into her personal life. It was more just like pictures of who she was with. And so I think she's obviously feeling much differently about her secrets ending splashed up on the news front page 10 years later than she did back when Red was first
right
released.
And she's put up with it for longer. Yeah. But I think the whole song in general sounds more emphatic, like she's singing it with more passion.
For sure.
I'm sure she feels more strongly about it now as well, like we do.
Well, that's what I mean by the fact that when she wrote this, she was the quote unquote 17-year-old fresh-faced girl who this is what she wanted. And so now she's looking at it and it's about her, essentially.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, the next line is my favorite.
Okay.
I was curious if it was going to be the same, if we had the same favorite, but I guess not.
Nope.
Okay, well, it's, and they'll tell you that you're lucky, but you're so confused because you don't feel pretty. You just feel used.
Yeah, that's a good line.
Ugh, it's like, ouch. you just feel used. Like, everyone's like, oh, she's so pretty. It's like that weird thing, too, with sexism where, like, sometimes people compliment you and they're like, why aren't you grateful? But it's like,
because you're commenting on my body.
Yeah, I didn't want that. It was unsolicited. Like, we went to a wedding recently and there was like a mutual friend there who made like a weird comment about how tight my dress was, and I was like, what makes you think you can say this to me?
I actually had a conversation with one of my one of my peers yesterday. We worked together in the courthouse, and he was telling me that he walked in and after not seeing his mom for like a couple months, and his mom was like, your belly just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And he was like, wow, thanks, mom. And I turned to him and I was like, how does it feel to be commented on? How does it feel to have your body commented on and be objectified based on how you look? Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh yeah, I welcome it anytime. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm sure. Because he is the same one that outed me for being pregnant before I told the rest of my office that I was pregnant by commenting, like, looking at my body and saying, when are you due?
Oh, creepy. Ew.
Yeah. So I just was throwing it back in his face. But it's true. Like, I mean, men, I mean, it's case in point. It's a fact. Men are not objectified as much as women are. And so, yeah, this line definitely, like, you don't feel pretty, like you want to feel pretty for yourself, but it's like you
feel like an object.
You feel like an object. You feel like you're being used.
Yeah. And it's disguised as a compliment or like whatever. Yeah. I don't like that at all. Like, either way, like, I think saying someone gained weight or saying someone lost weight, like, it's uncomfortable either way. Like, let's just not do that.
Yeah, let's just not come. Because at the end of the day, like, the used feeling is, once again, you're commenting on something so superficial. Like, why can't you comment
on what? And it affects someone's mental health. Like, someone might gain or lose weight because of mental health reasons. And so
that was the Fearless feature. Look at me weaving it all together.
And Britney Spears. Like, talk about mental health. You talk about Britney Spears and Lucky and, like, all the shit that she went through. It's crazy. There's a Marina song. I love Marina Diamandis, formerly of Marina and the Diamonds. And she is social commentary. She's one of my top artists ever. And in one of her new songs on her new album, she says, when Britney shaved her head and all we did was call her crazed. Mm. And there's another line about like when being too thin was all the rage or something like that before that. But it's like, yeah, we did. Like, well, Britney we still had do. And it's like entertainment for people instead of like, that's her real mental health. And she was clearly going through a lot. But I remember when that happened, like people making jokes about it, like it was all over TV, like magazines making jokes about that. And I'm sure I did it too. Like, the perspective was different.
I mean, I think I've kind of hit on this, but it goes back, like, feeling used. It's like, if everyone that doesn't know you is commenting on what you look like, it's like you're literally being used for what you look like as opposed to what you're capable of, what you think about, what your beliefs are.
What you're going through.
Yeah. It's just, it's, you're being used to look at as opposed to have a conversation with and contribute to the society on what you do as opposed to what you look like.
Right. Well, the next line, and all the young things line up to take your place. That's like exactly like nothing new.
Yeah.
You're just smashing these song pairings. Like I was going through them and I was like, oh, holy shit. She's so good at this. I mean, these are pretty obvious, but this also is, like, yeah, all your pairings. We'll see them. To be discovered, friends.
And so then she, you know, she's
also like Pretty Young Thing. PYT. Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Another name goes up in lights. You wonder if you'll make it out alive.
And so that's number two. The first one was like Diamonds in the Sky. And the second one was You Wonder If You'll Make It Out Alive.
And I think like Another Name Goes Up in Lights the first time is talking about the woman she's singing about. But the second time it's a new person. Pretty Young Thing.
Mm-hmm. So you've gotten a little bit older.
Yeah.
And then you see another person come up and get famous. Yeah.
And they'll tell you now you're the lucky one. Yeah, they'll tell you now you're the lucky one. Can you tell me now you're the lucky one?
And these O's are way bigger. So the first set of O's are really tiny. And then this one is like goes into it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more of them.
It was a few years later I showed up here. I love when Taylor does this in her narrative. Like the Last Great American Dynasty. Arrow,
Last Great American Dynasty.
And in Marjorie she does it. And it's just like,
I sobbed in Marjorie. Yeah. When the vocals came in and it came back around, I sobbed.
Yeah. No, what I was talking about at the very beginning of this episode of why she's such a good storyteller is because she's telling a story about someone else, but because she's incorporating her own belief system and her own feelings and her own empathy and what she's going through. That's why it goes so much further than other songwriters because she has that extra level when she includes herself in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I showed up here. She switches the viewpoint. She switches the vantage point. And now you're realizing like she's singing from personal observation as opposed to third party.
Right. And she kind of does that in Nothing New as well. Mm-hmm. There's like a three part thing. Like,
so it was, I showed up here and they still tell the legend of how you disappeared, how you took the money and your dignity and got the hell out.
And that hell out part is more emphatic as well. If you listen to them, because I did this morning, like side by side comparison, and that you can hear that stronger as well.
They say you bought a bunch of land somewhere, chose the Rose Garden over Madison Square. That's my favorite line, chose the Rose Garden over Madison Square.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And that's that one we talked about. I think it's just venues, you know, and like provincial life, getting out of a city.
Yeah.
And it took some time, but I understand it now because now my name is up in lights. And I think this time name is up in lights is not just being famous and being on billboards, but also gossip. Mm-hmm. Like your name is up in lights has a second meaning there, which is like, everybody's talking about you, you know, you're the hot gossip. And then the third one that we come back to from that three part is, but I think you got it right. So clearly referencing that she thinks that getting out of this life sometimes is the right, I guess, ending to the story.
Mm-hmm. Can I just go back to my favorite line? Because I forgot to comment that the reason I like it is because chose the Rose Garden over Madison Square, and she doesn't, it's two gardens because it's Madison Square Garden is the full. And I just like the fact that she uses the juxtaposition, and you know that she's talking about two gardens, but she doesn't have to say garden after Madison Square.
Yeah. Yeah. It, and the, like the whole rhyme scheme of those two lines goes really well together.
But I want to ask, like, I remember also listening to this and being like, well, the first time, yeah. you know, what is she going to do? That? Like, is that, is this the life
I was
she
scared.
Wants?
Yeah. I was scared.
Obviously, it's not, because 10 years later, she's still doing it, but.
But I still think now more than ever, like, it's more likely and that this song is more meaningful for her because it's more a possibility. Like, I really do think that she's going to make TS10, and it's, I feel like it's going to be like a rock album or more like instrumental, you know, and then I think she's gonna peace out and go have kids and potentially write books or whatever, maybe make music later, but at least take a break.
Yeah, I just don't know if she can. I just don't
she's
know if
she's incapable when she has free time like COVID.
Yeah.
We get two albums and a re-record.
I think it's more, I think she now feels like she has the freedom to do it on her own timeline, so she might just store up all these songs.
She's doing it for herself now, clearly, because yeah. she's to the point where she's like, I mean, she's Taylor Swift.
And
like,
so you can argue that that's kind of what she has done. And that, I mean, in The Lakes, that's a perfect example.
Ugh, beautiful song.
Of when, you know, she's like, I'd rather just be in this wilderness like all these poets and not mm-hmm. have anyone from the outside commenting on what I'm tweeting about and what I'm doing, and you know, I can live this private life. So she essentially is, you know, mm-hmm. doing it, but she's doing it in an era where it's really hard to be off the grid.
I know. And she made a TikTok, and like, that's very exciting because I'm like, anything Taylor gives us, like, we have to be grateful for, because there was a time when we didn't hear from her, and
but
I'm grateful, but at the same time, like, I'm like,
yeah, she gets to control that. And so she controls what she posts, and she doesn't follow a single soul on either any of her social media.
Yeah, I think her team is like, let's make a video today. And then she has ideas, I'm sure, because she's creative as hell.
Yeah.
And they come together and they do it. But it's like very much a work thing, even though she's making it look like it's like a personal life thing. Like, I mean, we don't even know how much money goes into making those things. Probably a lot. Like, her whole team is involved in stuff.
Yeah.
So it's very much a work endeavor. But at the same time, I'm like, girl, you don't need to do all that. Like, we will love you and support you and listen to all your music, and you don't need to give us anything else. We're so grateful.
Yeah, we are grateful. Okay. So
now she says, let me tell you now, you're the lucky one. Because she's had this full spin realization epiphany. She's the lucky one to have escaped fame.
Yeah.
And that's the end. She says it a lot of times. I remember just feeling so like sick in the pit of my stomach when hearing this song the first time ever, being like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Oh shit, Taylor, are you okay?
I know. So what was, okay, so what did we do first? The overall ranking?
Yeah.
Okay, what was your overall ranking?
127.
Okay, mine's 154.
Oh, okay. And my album ranking was higher than my total ranking. Like, it came up since the re-release, I think. Okay. Like, you know, theoretically, they should all be kind of in the same order as your overall.
Mm-hmm.
But this one came up a bit, and it was number 13, and I did not try.
Wow.
It just kind of happened that way.
Mine was number 18.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we want to move on to Nothing New?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, so we've talked a lot about Nothing New while talking about The Lucky One,
dude,
but there's still so much
Morgan,
to talk about.
This fucking song.
You love it?
Do you love it?
I do. So I think it's really important to note that this is the first song that she's done a duet with a female artist, where the female artist has had their own
part. Yeah.
And I think that's obviously incredibly relevant based on the content of this song.
Oh God, you're gonna hate me for this. One last note about the difference for the last song mm-hmm. is that the choruses, like, you can hear all the different parts in the choruses way more strongly than in the first version.
Well, like, yeah, you can hear the difference. That's like production.
Exactly. Okay, I'm so sorry I just did that to you. Please forgive me, friend.
I forgive you.
Nothing new.
So you love, did you love it?
Yes.
First off the bat?
Yes. This was immediately my favorite. And like, it's crazy. You're going to be baffled by my ranking at the end. But like, I think for me, this song is what You All Over Me was for you.
For me.
Yeah. Me.
So what do you think? What, I mean, all the news has come out, or, you know, she's commented on the fact that she knew that she wanted Phoebe Bridgers to be the one to do this with her. What do you think the relevance in having Phoebe Bridgers do it is?
Well, Phoebe Bridgers had that relationship with her producer, right? Like, that she wrote that whole song about.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, that song's incredible. Well, I can't think of what it's called. I have an emotional motion sickness.
Yes.
I think that whole relationship with the industry was like really gross for her.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be meaningful for Phoebe to take part in it. And you can hear that in her voice.
Yeah, for sure. I love that when my lives collide, because so one of my all time favorite books is Normal People. Normal People is written by Sally Rooney, who's an Irish author. They made a short mini series on Hulu off of the book, which was unbelievable. If you have not watched it, you need to stop this recording right now and go watch every episode.
Full stop, everyone. Pause.
And then Paul Mescal, who's an Irish actor, starred in Normal People, and he is now dating Phoebe Bridgers.
Oh, weird.
I love when my world collide like that.
My husband is like in love with Phoebe Bridgers.
I mean, what's not like, to love about her?
I get it, but he's like, legitimately, I would leave you for Phoebe, like, in an instant. And like, we'll talk about her for many, many long moments. So, many minutes. I feel fine with it. I mean, she's great. And it's not like he has a chance with Phoebe Bridgers, so it's fine.
And I think it's great. Like, I think you're correct in saying that she chose Phoebe Bridgers for her jadedness with the music industry, which is similar to Taylor's, obviously. I think it's also important, you know, she is 5 years younger than Taylor, so she is kind of like the 17-year-old coming up.
Mm-hmm. And probably grew up in Taylor's, well, definitely, shadow. Definitely did. We all did.
Yeah. So I think that's important because of the, you know, the meaning behind the song. And also, I mean, her voice is just great.
Yeah, her voice is fucking incredible. And like in this song in particular, more than in some of her own music, I swear, like, it's just perfect in this song.
Yeah.
I do think something sad though is that I think she could have picked like any female artist and it would have been really relevant and they would have felt a way about it, you know?
Sure. But I think it's important that Taylor said this Phoebe was her first choice and she didn't think that she was going to release the song.
I think she knew her voice would sound sick in this with the like the notes. I don't know music stuff. Embarrassing. But like with the melody and stuff, like she knew that Phoebe would be able to sing it perfectly.
Okay, so you want
to... Does this sound like a Red track to you?
I think it's... Yes, it does. Because, like I said, I think it's the continuation of The Lucky One, or it's the flipped version of The Lucky One.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one that didn't make the Red album because either she didn't want it on there, but more likely than not, it was the producers that didn't want it on there because it was too, like...
Sad.
Melancholy.
And she talks about being drunk. Yeah. And at that time, her image was really controlled.
So I think it is definitely Red era.
Yeah. So for me, the really interesting thing is that with Fearless and the Vault tracks, I felt like some of them, the way they were produced, they just didn't sound like Fearless songs. They sounded like songs from more like Folklore, Evermore, or whatever. And I kind of feel that way about Nothing New. Like, I think it seems like it could be from that era too. But at the same time, I think that adding the Vault tracks from this album makes the whole album more sonically cohesive,
mm-hmm.
and makes it come together as like a more complete work. And I don't think the Vault tracks did that for Fearless, but I think for Red, like the thing that she was critiqued for
was that it was jumpy.
Yeah. And this like gets me like hyped because just thinking about like, ugh, the shit that was cut that, like, I think just made would have made this album that much better.
Just to comment on what you said, your opinion that it sounds like it could fit into the folklore Evermore genre. I agree, but I think that's because she's still using those producers that she used on Folkmore and Evermore mm-hmm. to do these new
Folkmore.
Songs.
Folkmore. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That's probably why. But essentially, my overall perspective on this song is that this is like the better version of The Lucky One, like the deeper, sadder.
Yeah, for sure. And you know? I think so. Yeah, because Aaron Dessner was the producer on this song. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Why?
It just, the lyrics, man. So they tell you while you're young, girls go out and have your fun.
Love the reference to
girls,
just wanna have fun.
But they do say that. Yes. They do. Then they hunt and slay the ones who actually do it. So I underline hunt and slay. Sounds like reputation language. Something that's crazy to me from the Vault songs is seeing like, there's certain language that she's had that I've really characterized as being a certain album that I see her consistently use throughout time. And I'm like, she's always had this. It's just been more like cut into neat little boxes.
And I think that that goes with her songwriting. It's very clear she's always writing songs. And I think you can see that with, like you said, like the pattern of certain words being used. And she, I think she's even said, and she will write something down, say, oh, I really like this.
I want to use it somewhere.
Somewhere. And then she'll pull it and put it in, insert it into another song. So she may have written these words in the Red era and been like, oh, shit, I never used that song. Let me pull these words and insert them into this other song.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But I do like Hunt and Slay as well, because it's like that women are witches language, like witch hunt.
Yeah. They criticize the way you fly when you're soaring through the sky, shoot you down, and then they sigh and say, she looks like she's been through it. Rough. It's like, so true, though.
Yeah. It's being gaslit. Like,
it's so bad. Like, you know.
Or like, you look so good for your age.
Yeah. Thanks. Or like, just, yeah, go out and have your fun while you're having your fun, getting drunk, partying. Wow. Like, what did you do to your hair? What did you do to your body? Like, it's just
getting out of that taxi. We saw your ass and now you're a slut. Like, you know, are dating people and having fun. And that's, God forbid, that's a terrible thing for young women to do. But it's there is that. It's like, you're meant to be like young and pretty and fun, but you're also meant to be like pure and good. But you're also meant to be like sexy and hot.
The never ending double standard for women.
Yes, exactly. So Lord, what will become of me?
Once I've lost my novelty.
Mm-hmm.
God, that's really a strong line. Because it's, oh God, it's just like, I can just picture. I mean, I can see myself sitting in here, like in the dark, being like, what happens when I stop being this fun version of myself and people don't like me anymore?
Or when you're not a PYT.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know,
I mean, it's very relevant to just all women. It is like at a certain age, you're kind of overlooked by society because you're not that like youthful beauty in their eyes, or like, you know, female actresses and that kind of thing. Like, but it happens to all women, I think. Like,
yeah.
And even just elderly in general, people just like kind of don't notice and they become invisible.
Well, but I mean, it's because, you know, as women get older, they're the ones that are like, oh, they shouldn't be out doing all these things. Don't they have a family? Don't they have kids? Don't they have all these responsibilities? But as men get older, it's like, they're silver foxes. Look how hot he is. Like, oh, he's getting so much. Like, he looks better older. Like, you know, it's just so unfair.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. Something that Gabe and I were talking about recently when watching TV, and there were girls on a reality show who'd had cosmetic surgeries, And they were really upset that the guys called them fake because they were like, you don't know what we've been through or why we've had this happen. And the expectations for you are so different. And so we were talking about how horrible it is that essentially like a man could work super hard and change his physical body and honestly like not be super cute. And that's pretty much good enough, right? Yeah. Of course, there's pectoral implants and things you can do. But like for the most part, a man can just work out really hard and then be considered pretty hot. Whereas for a woman, you have to do all of that. Plus, if your boobs are too small, if your lips are too thin, like you should be wearing makeup.
You have wrinkles.
Like it's all of the expectations of the physique, and that's still not good enough.
Yeah,
and there's still more. Like it's just never good enough what women can do. And the use of the word novelty, I think, for Taylor to bring it back is like those eras. And she talked about in the Rep documentary of like, I am constantly reinventing myself.
Yeah.
I'm constantly thinking of a new thing. Like, how can I keep them on the line? You know, or like Mirrorball, like
where how she's can like, I be novel? How
I'm like, walking this tightrope. Like, look at me, you know?
I've had too much to drink tonight, and I know it's sad, but this is what I think about. Girl, I know when I drink, I get all melancholy, and I'm like, oh, what has my life become?
Yeah, I wrote next to this that I think this is the reason, like I said, that this got cut and why it's a vault song. But also, did you see the TikTok that she made?
No.
What? Like,
which one?
About the I've had too much to drink tonight.
Yes.
And then it's like slows down the song.
It went sometimes, like viral, didn't it?
Yeah. Sometimes when I listen to that song, my brain goes to like the edited sound and I start cracking up because I think about that TikTok. Kind of like brings me out of it. But and I know it's sad, but this is what I think about. I think you said that. And I wake up in the middle of the night. It's like I can feel time moving. She said a similar thing in The Archer.
Yeah, she did.
The next line, though, is a lot. How can a person know everything at 18 and but nothing at 22? I mean, do you want me to go with thoughts? Or do you have immediate thoughts?
Follow up.
Okay. Like, there's this thing, like, the more you know about something, the less you realize, or the more you realize you don't know, right? Like, with language, it's certainly the case. Like, someone would be like, oh, like, to an AP French student, oh, well, you know, you're fluent, which is not a good term anyway. It should be proficient. But like, oh, well, you're fluent in French. And they're like, you know, even though like their proficiency level is, you know, intermediate high or advanced low or whatever, like they know how much they don't know at that point.
Right. And I mean, it's just, it's like 15. The song 15, where she's
all that young confidence.
Yeah, like where you think you have it all figured out, you think you know what you want, but trust me, you don't. And the more you get older, you realize, I thought I had it figured out back then and I thought I knew what I wanted, but oh, I definitely didn't.
Yeah. Just that blind confidence that you have in youth. Yeah. Well, and will you still want me when I'm nothing new? So that's the first time they say nothing new.
Yeah.
And then
Phoebe Bridgers comes in.
This is my favorite. Is this yours? I keep wanting us to have the same favorite line.
How long will it be cute?
All this crying in my room when you can't blame it on my youth and roll your eyes with affection. Ah, like
it?
I love it. Like that is fearless. Like that mellow psychodrama thing that we were talking about. Like just over dramatic, like, I'm crying. I'm sitting on my floor crying, like wearing your t-shirt. Like, this is, I never thought we'd have this last kiss. Like, all of these intense songs and feelings and how people have really related to them. But then it's like, that's only acceptable at a certain age. I don't know. I don't know how more to prove that this is the greatest line. I can't. It just is. Okay.
I have another favorite line, but I do really like it. I love I mean, the imagery is just perfect.
I started crying the first time I listened to this when that line came.
Were you crying in your room?
Yeah. She ironically made me cry. And it wasn't cute, right?
And my cheeks are growing tired from turning red and faking smiles.
Are we only biding time till I lose your attention?
That's like the, that's very similar to Speak Now. What's the song I'm thinking of when she walks into a party and she meets?
The Story of Us.
No. It's the guy about Owl City.
Enchanted?
Enchanted, yes. And she's like walking in and she's like, all I do is fake smiles and laughter.
Forcing laughs and faking smiles. Yeah. Yeah. Well, when you're a superstar, you better smile for the camera.
I do love that she uses the word red as well in this song.
Oh, nice. I didn't notice that. And are we only biding time until I lose your attention? I've brought it up multiple times, but like there's a lot of parallels with Mirror Ball, I think.
Yeah. And someone else lights up the room. So there we go. This is also like
the lucky one,
which we talked about. You know, people are just waiting for the next new thing. People love an ingenue. Did you like that?
I did. Appreciate the French, Taylor. So ingenue in French means naive. And it's specifically, I think, in English used for in literature or fiction. Literature or film. It's a character who is played as the innocent or endearingly innocent young woman. And it's often a typecast role.
Okay. But it actually, like, but translated, it means naive.
Yes. Okay. It can be as an adjective or a noun.
I just thought it meant something new.
Oh.
But so thank you for telling me that. Because when I hear ingenue, I think, oh, they're reinventing something new.
Oh, no. Yeah. People love an ingenue. It's like a young, naive girl.
Okay.
So that would be the person that's replacing her, mm-hmm. You know?
Once again, I've had too much to drink tonight. How did I go? This is my favorite line. How did I go from growing up to breaking down?
Yeah. Look at my note next to this line. Will you read it into the microphone?
What the fuck?
What the fuck, Taylor? Like, you're writing, like, you wrote, how did I go from growing up to breaking down? You wrote that.
I know.
Like, Taylor, if you're listening, you wrote that. Girl.
I don't think she's listening, Erin.
She is. Taylor Swift, you wrote that line, and you should be so proud. Like, what the fuck? How does she do this?
I don't know. I love it, though. And I don't think I need to explain it. I don't need to elaborate it. It's just a perfect line.
No, it's amazing.
I wake up in the middle of the night. It's like I can feel time moving. And then how can a person know everything at 18 but nothing at 22? And will you still want me when I'm nothing new? Okay. And then they sing together.
So I'm already crying a little bit at this point from the, like, I've teared up.
Like,
right?
Like right now you are?
No.
Oh.
At this point in listening to the song the first time. Yes. Take it back. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
I was like, I cannot see tears falling from your eyes.
Look hard. That's from Lion King. Anyway, so tearing up when she says, and you can't blame it on my youth because of my connection to Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
And just as a woman feeling like, you know, when you're young, like it's okay to be emotional. But then when you're older, it's like, you're more and more just hysterical. So I have a tear, a little glisten in my eye at that point. And then we get to, I know someday I'm going to meet her. It's a fever dream. The kind of radiance you only have at 17. She'll know the way and then she'll say she got the map from me. I'll say I'm happy for her. Then I'll cry myself to sleep. Okay. Commence me sobbing at this point because this is freaking Olivia Rodrigo, I swear to God.
I know. I was thinking the same thing.
Is it not? Like,
I know.
Go back. If you haven't, listen to the bonus episode about her album Sour. And if you haven't listened to Olivia Rodrigo's album yet, like, what are you doing with your life? Go do that. Go do that. Full stop. Okay. But yeah, this just like this gives me full body chills. Like I just.
It's a great bridge. Once again, her bridges always do the
and
best.
And then imagine me just by myself listening to this and crying like a weirdo and then trying to go to my husband like, Gabe, this song, like, you don't even, like, this is about Olivia Rodrigo. Like, can I play this for you? And then him being like, cool.
He didn't really enjoy the fact that Phoebe Bridgers is singing it too.
Yeah, he thought it was fine, I guess. But it was not like, you know, the reaction that you want, which is like what I get from you. Like, yeah. Thank you. Like, this outlet has to happen.
It because does.
Otherwise, I'm just pacing around like freaking out about Taylor Swift's music. And that energy, just what happens to it? Like, I need someone to understand the beauty and the genius of this.
Yeah, and it's all, but it's also like she wrote this so long ago.
Wrote this at 22.
And so she, like, she was foreshadowing.
Why was this cut? And of course, you know, it's always, you wonder, like, would I love it as much if it had been produced differently?
I don't think we would have. I think it's perfect that it came out now because I don't think it would have hit as home. Just like the Lucky One hits better now, I think that this one would have fallen short back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the Phoebe Bridgers part just is, she's perfect for it, and that wouldn't have happened, you know?
Yeah.
And it maybe would have had a totally different sound, but I just, Vault songs on this album for me really just bring things together, like, overall. And I feel, I have, you know, different thoughts about different Vault songs, but this one is crazy good. So then we move on to the next line.
It's, I've had too much to drink tonight, but I wonder if they'll miss me once they drive me out.
Ooh, they drive me out. Like, you just can't do it anymore. Like, yeah. You've got to get the hell out.
But it's not entirely her decision. It's people forcing her hand to do it because if she could have all that she wanted and still maintain the position that she's in, that's what she would ideally want. But instead, she's getting pushed out because there's someone new coming along.
Yeah, and I feel like we probably all felt that way with a job before, too.
Sure.
Like, I would keep this job if I could, but yeah. I love the job. It's just things about it that you all are doing and won't stop doing. Yeah. Like, it's a relatable feeling, I think, for anyone, just if you've been replaced, right?
So then she wakes up in the middle of the night. I can feel time moving. How can a person know everything at 18 but nothing at 22?
I do think it's significant that that question is repeated several times. Like, will you still want me? Will you still want me when I'm nothing new? Like, this is a fever dream. Like, this is your nightmares in the middle of the night. This is what the Archer should have been.
Yeah.
And wasn't. Sorry, Tay. But, you know, I gave you many compliments today.
And don't worry, she's not listening. She's not taking any offense.
All right, cool. So, ranking on the album?
Oh, shoot. No, first.
Did you write it down?
Oh, yeah, on the album.
Yeah.
Right, that's right.
We don't have an overall.
No. We haven't done that yet.
It wasn't included in the list at that point.
I have it as number 5.
I have it as number 5, too.
There we go.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I thought I was really going to show. Probably you could guess by the time we got here that it was going to be high for me. But, like, this song, it's a Vault song.
Yeah.
And it got to 5.
I know. Well, I've said before, I agree with you, too, because this is the first Vault song we've talked about on this season. I've said before, when I originally listened to the album, I really liked the front half, and the second half, I was just kind of like, eh. But knowing that the Vault songs come after now, you are correct in saying it makes them much more cohesive, brings the album together. It really creates a flow that was non-existent in the original version. And I think that this is such a good song to have at the tail end that I definitely hold it to high regards and have it as number 5.
Yeah. Yes. 100% in agreement with you. And, like, that makes me feel even more confident in my rating and in my decision.
Really? You take my opinion that much.
I do. And I'm always, like, nervous about revealing rankings and, like, where we're going to be different. Because you, like, I think realistically, like, you have a better handle over, like, what is a higher quality song. And for me, I think sometimes I'm just really swayed by the emotional attachment to things. Like, I can rank songs and be like, objectively speaking, this one is so much better, but, like, I have to put this one here. You know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah.
Okay. Well, for Tell me why.
Yay.
I prepped. Are you happy?
I'm so happy because I'm not good at this part.
Okay. Well, I have a post by IvyLakes13 on Instagram, so go give them a follow. And they have a theory about why Speak Now is the next re-recording and why 1989 is coming after.
Okay, I would love to hear this theory.
All right. Part one, Acorn. A few weeks ago, a film shot. Hold on.
Start over.
Take it back. A few weeks ago, a film shoot took place at Taylor's New York City apartment with the project name Acorn. Taylor's Halloween costume was a squirrel. National Squirrel Appreciation Day is January 21st. January 21st is a Friday, the date that also adds up to 3. Speak Now is Taylor's third album. Okay, and then if you swipe over, you hadn't seen this, I'm assuming.
No.
Did I not send this to you? This theory was like floating around for a while. So
she is probably laughing at us so hard right now.
I don't know. I think she's a little nuts herself.
Pun intended?
Yes, very much so. Like, she likes doing this and has admitted on talk shows that she does this intentionally.
But a National Squirrel Day?
Okay, well,
don't fucking come at me.
Tell me why. She's dressed like a squirrel then.
I mean, she had to cover her whole body because she didn't want to be recognized when she was out trick-or-treating with Blake Lively and their kids.
That's true. Yeah. So there's a picture of the film shoot title and, you know, the Squirrel Day, Wikipedia and all that. And then part two, the Halloween costume poses. The pose in the first photo is very similar to the Speak Now cover and this image from the era. The pose in the second photo is similar to the era from 1989. The photo also uses a Polaroid-like filter. So the first photo being like Speak Now and the second photo being like 1989 would be teasers for the release order. Okay. All right. So we can see them. They are the same poses. Damn. Okay. That's not wrong. They are the same.
Can you pass it over? Can I see?
The first one is the Speak Now pose where she's in the dress and she's like turned to look around and then swipe so you can see the second one. It's the 1989 pose where she's got like she's putting her hands around her face. Like a little cutie patootie.
But doesn't she do these poses like all the time?
Like, I don't know. It's convincing when you see this shit on the internet. It's convincing.
It
right?
is convincing. I still don't believe it.
Okay.
I don't believe anything anymore. Just
that
to let
didn't
everyone know.
Surprise anyone, I don't think. That's nothing new, Morgan. We're very much used to it. Okay. This person also just has feelings written here. Okay.
Okay. What are her feelings? I'm assuming it's a her. Sorry. That was a bad assumption.
Yeah. He, she, they. Or any other neo pronoun. I also think it's likely we get Speak Now in January, February anyway. Okay. It has always felt like a wintry album and would make sense to release it around then. 1989 belongs as a summer album, no question. Yes, I agree. Debut seems like an autumn album more than early spring, so there's that too. And I guess we might see Rep anywhere between December 2022 and March 2023. Ugh, we have to wait so long for Rep.
I don't think she's going to release another album that quickly.
I have another theory for you in the next episode. Okay.
I just don't think.
To quote Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre, the next episode.
Da 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 da.
Bop, bop, bop.
I just don't. When she can release these with so much time in between and so much buildup, why wouldn't she do that? I don't think she's going to release this in January.
Okay. Well, here's the rest of the predictions. I didn't say you had to agree with them.
I know. I'm just giving my comments.
Speak Now.
I think it's important to have two viewpoints.
Well, they're going to know because we're recording this in December, a day before Morgan's birthday. She's going to be 22.
Yep. Feeling 22.
I really seriously considered getting you that t-shirt. Feeling 22, just to be like fucking with you facetiously.
Thank you, Aaron.
Great. So anyways,
I predictions. Probably wouldn't get it until my next birthday because of the way that Taylor's delivery goes.
That's true. I would have had to find like an Amazon version or something. The listeners will know these predictions if they're true or not, because it'll at least be January when these are released. Hopefully January, but we'll see. We'll see, friends. Speak Now announcement or release January 21st, 1989 release, summer 2022, debut release October 2022, rep release January 2023. Okay. All right. Well, there you go. There you have it. That's that. You don't have to agree. But I did put a theory in the theory section.
And I appreciate that. I appreciate you telling me why.
I also have a Taylor trivia.
Look at Erin. Look at Erin go.
Uh-huh. I prepped while I was giving exams yesterday. In between answering student questions, I was preparing for my Taylor Swift podcast.
Awesome.
So how many streams do you estimate Taylor has had in this decade?
Jesus.
Give an approximation and say like over or under.
I'd say over 500 million.
Okay. Correct answer is over 1 billion.
I was going to say 1 billion, but 1 billion.
You weren't sure. But I guess streams would probably also include like music videos and stuff, right?
Would it?
And yeah. And you see how many people join those streams when she releases stuff?
Yeah.
Like the night of. And with all the lyric videos and everything.
That's true.
Which is, you know, when she held out on, you know, streaming platforms like Apple Music to make the point of artists needing to get paid more for streaming. Like, that's why that had so much power. Like, in the last decade, which is probably since she put her music on streaming.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Over a billion streams.
That's crazy.
So many. All right. Well, plugs or...
We'll write your name.
Ugh, I was hoping you would do it in the tune, but okay.
This is why we disappoint.
This is why we can't have nice things. Our Bonfire website is linked in the description of the episode. So get your Swifterhood t-shirt. There's a potential we'd have new designs by the time this is out. So
that would be great.
Mm-hmm. And they are $22, the basic t-shirt, you know, and that is intentional if you didn't guess that already. You can buy us a whiskey on ice on our Buy Us a Coffee website, and we are so appreciative for people who have done that, like seriously, and we read your little notes. I can't figure out how to reply to them. I have tried. It's not for lack of trying, okay? But to all of you who've written sweet little things, like seriously, wonderful, amazing, we love you. And even like a couple little whiskeys can help us, you know, support the show for a little bit. It's honestly not super high cost, but it does help us.
Yes.
Follow our social media, Swifterhood Podcast, basically everywhere. You can email swifterhoodpodcast@gmail.com with lyrical analysis for songs on this album. Morgan has the pairings though, so I don't know like fully when.
And I'm not releasing them fully. Erin only gets the snippets when we're prepping.
But like when we want you to send stuff in, we really do appreciate when you send stuff in, but we want it to be like an analysis of lyrics, not just like, I liked this one, you know? So if you have that kind of thing, like something that you wrote out that anyone else would look at and be like, this person has lost their mind, send us that shit.
Yeah.
That's the shit we want.
Because as much as I scoff, it's still entertaining to hear.
Of course it is. So our fearless feature, idontmind.com, check them out. And, Allison Asarch has her album coming February 11th. So depending on when this is out, we're looking forward to it or streaming it already. All right. Thanks for listening.
Bye.